Good afternoon. This is Mondo Homunculero from Thanateros Studios, deep in the heart of Casa de Mondo's Azquia. Thanks for tuning in. This is the July 4th, 2021 broadcast in Era Vulgaris, a year not of the Lord, so praise the Lord. A little bit of news today, a little bit of historic perspective on this holiday and what it means. A little background here, a little chill stuff so I don't get too worked up. As I was saying, I hope you're doing well. Over here, we're doing okay. Got some good health news going on. Not going to elaborate on it at all, but just to tell you, feeling good, doing well. Things have changed for the better in my life. Now, here we go with the first piece of news. There's a new lab leak theory that came out, which says that there is a distinct possibility that the SARS-2 coronavirus leaked from a lab in Wuhan. And a lot of that comes from ruling out the zoonotic theories that it came from a bat or a pangolin or some other animal source. Don't necessarily ascribe to any of that, any of the negative theories on that. As I said, I hope you're doing well. It is a distinct possibility that maybe some of the testing was mishandled and maybe a mutated virus escaped. Maybe. Or maybe the virus itself escaped, got into a person who was maybe a non-symptomatic carrier and went into the general populace somehow. Could be. Don't know yet. More on that later. Next piece of news. Yeah, nigga. Today's democracy isn't exactly what the wealthy U.S. founding fathers envisioned. No, it's not. No, it's not. Things have gotten a little bit better. Things have gotten a little bit better with all of that. In that we understand now that the middle class and those people who came here who weren't wealthy, who came here to work off like indentured servitude or maybe slaves, other people who were not of a wealthy disposition that came to this country. And that was kind of a side effect. The side effect of what the wealthy did here was, and that was really the only trickle-down that's really ever happened. So the big side effect was that this middle class began to get created, and it really got influenced in its creation by the events from the 1890s, well, actually 1870s, if you want to really go all the way back to the beginnings of the labor movement, all the way up through the New Deal. And then they had the period of prosperity after World War II and the prosperity period of the 50s, which evaporated around 1970, to where now we have a pretty static situation with less people having the opportunity to enter the middle class than ever before, contrary to what the Republicans tell us. The Republicans want to tell us that everything's fine, it's going great, and that what they do helps us more than anything else. And of course, most of what they do is nothing. What have they done? Oh, they had the tax cut. They tried to stop people at the border. Oh, but that wasn't all the Republicans, was it? Because we know Bush wasn't like that, was he? No. And really, Obama was kind of a moderate kind of conservative type guy. He really wasn't a progressive or a liberal. He wasn't anything like that. He had liberal talking points. However, he never followed through. He kissed conservative ass. So what's happened? I mean, with this stuff. Well, they were, you know, when the founders expected the common people, the poor and the uneducated, to participate indirectly through their local government at town halls and meetings and through the protest actions like boycotts. Right. This comes from an article that came out of Voice of America News back in 2020. That's true. That's why we have this misnomer called a representative democracy. Right. That, you know, it says that we're being represented. We're being represented by our democratically elected officials. Oh. And it starts at the local level. Oh. Not so hot, right? All right. Well, it wasn't intended to be a full-blown democracy. I mean, you can read the Federalist Papers, and it tells you that. Look at Federalist Paper number 10, written by, I think it was Madison wrote that. It's really kind of saying that the majority of people represent the mob and that the mob should never rule. Well, I know one mob that shouldn't rule. That little mob that represents the people that think that same way on January the 6th at the Capitol building. Now, if we did have a tyrannical government, which we do not, even though I'm not in favor of most of what the policies of the government are, because they're directed by business state. It's a business state. It's not a true democracy. It's not even really a very representative democracy, because big money, as you know, if you've done your reading, and a lot of people haven't, big money runs a government. And the deep state, well, you know, it's too bad that fuckheads like the orange pus bag get a hold of those kind of terms, because then they twist them for their propagandist concerns. Right. So he's trying to say the deep state is composed of this and that, and that they're controlling everything, and he was going to gut them out and drain the swamp and do all this shit, which he didn't do. Yeah, he got rid of some of the bureaucrats. And what did he do? He replaced them with grifting thieves, because that's what idiots like him do. And then yesterday he's now spewing at a rally in Florida where thousands have attended. Well, I didn't get a head count. I don't really care. However, we know that there's still too many people who like him and what he represents. And we also know that what he represents actually came from years and years of nonsense spewed by the John Birch Society and other radical reactionary factions in the country, and finally got kind of introduced to us in a big way by that old, "I'll put another chicken in your pot, Reagan, no good son of a bitch whose bones ought to be burned in public." Yeah, Reagan is the reason for the season. Yeah, he's the reason for the wrong season. No good bastard. And then I see black people. I get upset. I see black people, African-Americans, who are like Trump supporters. It's their right to be a Trump supporter. But this guy is not in your camp, folks. The unemployment drop that happened as a result of the previous administration's policies, not because of Trump. Trump didn't do shit for that. Trump didn't do anything. He didn't increase wages, which presidents really can't do unless they have Congress on their side. Trump gave a big tax cut to the people who are not going to trickle the money down to any of us. But I mean, the only trickle down we got was from the federal government and our relief checks and things like that. And I even got one, and I don't really, well, I don't think I qualify for one, but evidently the IRS thought I did. Yeah. So there we go. Some of the founders were particularly concerned about populism and mob rule. Yeah, as I pointed out with Monroe and Adams, these were the kinds of people that thought that democracy was a dirty word. Even John Adams said stuff like that. He didn't want poor people to vote. He didn't want women to vote. The author of this paper, Andrew Wehrman, says, for he's from Central Michigan. He's an associate professor of history. Yeah. Well, no, they this was an exclusionary, elitist, quasi-democratic experiment. That's what it was. Here we go. Bruce Kuklick, a professor of American history emeritus at University of Pennsylvania, said the framers had a very different idea of democracy than we do today. We U.S. citizens do today. I don't use the word, the A word, because really the way it's been construed, it knocks out Canadians and Central Americans, South Americans and people from Mexico and all of that. They're Americans too, just as much as we are. They're not United States citizens. Back to the quote, the founders didn't want this sort of democracy at all. The Constitution is written so that citizenship rights are very, very limited, he says. They worried about democracy. It was a bad form of government because once you let everybody participate, then you're likely to elect a demagogue. You're likely to have people come to power who appeal to the frenzy of the masses. That idea is long gone. Wow, here you go. So now this is kind of the Republican contextual argument, even though a lot of them don't even know this. They don't even care to know it. They've just got their agenda in mind, which is more wealth, more power. Not to say that there aren't people on our side of the equation who are in the left, and I'm the far left, so there are people like that. And this is the big challenge that we all have, is to get the autocrats out, to find out who they are and get them the fuck out, to get autocracy and authoritarianism expunged from any philosophy that would run our political, economic, and social systems. That was a nice mouthful. Well, Wehrman points out that the framers saw to it that the Constitution, that only one part of one branch federal government, the House, is popularly elected by the people. That's right, because the Senate was appointed. Okay, then the Electoral College chose the president, the commander-in-chief, and he selects the Supreme Court justices that have to be approved by those appointed fuckheads. Well, we don't have appointed senators now. We just have a terrifically unrepresentative body. What do I mean by that? Well, I figure what the number is, something like over 40 million people, okay, kind of have a block on what we're going to do in the Senate, indirectly speaking, through the senators from the small states. I mean, states that have a population of 800,000 who have two senators? Come on! What the fuck is that? That's not right. I don't care if they're red or blue. It's not right. States like... it's just completely unrepresentative. And old man Dingell, the old congressman from Michigan, he laid it out a long time ago. Senate needs to go away. And they're not going to change the Senate. If they were going to change it, they would make it like the House. If you have under a certain amount, you don't get two senators. You get one. If you have over a certain amount, you have more than one. That would be probably the easiest fix, although it still requires a constitutional amendment. And this is where the Constitution does fail us. Because if we go back to this whole population and voting thing, in the original Constitution, African-American slaves were considered three-fifths of a human. That's right. I think the indigenous tribes, the native tribes were in there with it. Look, you think this country is a democracy? Maybe you better look at where you work. Is where you work a democracy? Is one person, one vote have any say-so in the direction of the company? There are companies that work that way. Companies I've founded work that way. Now, they're no longer in existence because of factors not contributory to that particular stance. Because the main thing that fails companies is lack of capital. Bing. Anyway, we go back and we look at our country. We look at our workplace, and our workplace is primarily not a democracy. There are companies where the workers do have a say-so in what happens at the company. I mean, a real say-so. Whether it's 50%, whether it's 100 or 80%, it's a worker co-op, they have 100% say-so. Yeah, that's pretty cool, isn't it? Then we have the error of thinking. I talk about public banks, for example. Public banks means that everybody is okay to have an account in this bank. Of course, they're going to be subject to the same rules that, you know, the most banking institutions. You got to have a balance that maintains a certain amount. You can't overdraft. You know, things like that. But the public bank is owned by the public, so any dividends or benefits come back to the bank owned by the public. So those are all public dividends and benefits. Somebody tried to argue with me, well, you know, credit unions are public. No, they're not. You have to join them, and you have to qualify for membership. So that's not really public. It's public access, but that's not a publicly owned bank. Yeah, the shareholders of the bank, however, you have to join it and be a shareholder. Whereas in a public bank, you don't necessarily have to do that. There is a slight difference there, but I'm not going to sit here and argue about that. That's not what this is about. The founders didn't want this sort of democracy at all, right? They worried about democracy. It was a bad form of government because once you let everybody participate, then you're likely to elect a demagogue. Yeah, I repeated that because guess what happened in 2016? A shithead who is still out there spewing lies and garbage and propaganda, total liar, a lying scumbag who really, in a way, should be censored. Well, he is on Twitter and he is on Facebook. Let's see for how long. I got another topic to hit on that. You're likely to have people come to power who appeal to the frenzy of the masses. That idea is long gone. Werman points out that the framers saw to it that only one part of one branch of the government, like I said, the House, had any sort of direct representation. It's another attempt to kind of whittle away at the direct participation of a large group of people in the political process, Kuklick says. So there are all these other constraints they write into the Constitution to shore up what they think might be a leaky vessel where too many ignorant poor people get the right to vote. Yeah. Well, we all know that we had the literacy check in the southern states on voting, and that left a lot of poor white people out as well as poor African-American people. And then a lot of that was skewed so that there was stuff on there that anybody didn't know, more or less, an African-American. It was only after the 1913 ratification of the 17th Amendment to the Constitution that senators were elected by direct popular vote. Okay, so, man, we need another amendment saying that senators have to be based the same way the House is, or abolish the whole thing entirely because it's really not needed. All it is right now is an obstructionist body. And right now we need to do some radical work. Yes, we need to do some radical work now. Right? Why? Because we're in dire circumstances, especially with climate change. It's the most dire circumstance that we face. I don't care what anybody says. The problem with most of us in this country is that unless something affects us directly, we don't give a fuck. Maybe that's what I'm going to call this podcast this time, is the IDGAF podcast. That's right. Because most people don't give a fuck. They don't. They don't care that what I just read to you is the status quo. How does it? They don't even know how it's affecting them directly, and that's a big problem. They're thinking like a bozo, like this last thing we call a president, because he was a thing that we called a president who still wants to be called the president, who still thinks he's a president, who is not the president, who got ousted by the popular vote and by the Electoral College. Yeah, we start thinking that, you know. Now, this bastard, a good thing about him is he did affect a lot of people directly. Just his attitude and his moniker and his bullshit that he spews did. And the tax cut hurt a lot of people. Now, here's the thing. They don't know. A lot of middle-class people don't know they got hurt by the tax cut because the hurt's going to come in the ensuing years unless this thing gets fucking ousted. It needs to be kicked out. The tax code is inequitable. The people and companies that make the most pay the least. This is a big fact that you can look up if you want to challenge me on that. Oh, but they're creating... No, they're not. Most of them are not creating jobs. I mean, real job creation does deserve, I believe, a tax incentive. Here's more from the article. Clearly, the Constitution was written and enacted to pull back some of the actions that were taken by state legislatures. People like James Madison, Alexander Hamilton thought that state legislatures and voters in most states had gone too far, that many people were participating in politics. Too many people were voting, says Wehrman. Well, guess what's going on now? What, how many states is it? 46 states, something like that. Over 300 pieces of legislation, some of them already signed on by governors. Yeah, this is what we're looking at right now, a return to the bullshit of the founders. So when you start spewing this crap about the founding fathers and how great they were, well, this alone was not democratic. No. No, it was oligarchic is what it was. For example, New Jersey gave the right to vote to residents who could reach a certain property ownership threshold. This included women and African Americans who were able to vote from 1776 till 1807 when the state restricted voting rights to white men. There you go. There it is again. You don't have a say-so, motherfucker, because you ain't got it all together. Okay. They, the founders, thought that there were too many voices in the state legislatures, that states were becoming too radical, that they were beholden to the interests of the common man. Beholden to the interests of the common man. Ought not a democratic government, democratically elected government, ought not that be what they are obligated and responsible for, to be beholden to the common man? Not so by the founders, brother. And sisters. Sisters more importantly than brothers. I love women. Women are wonderful. Yes. So what people like Hamilton and Adams and other framers of the Constitution thought about, what would they think about it today? Wehrman says, I think they would all be sort of delighted that the general framework they created is still in action, he says. It's pretty disgusting, isn't it? Yeah, it's pretty disgusting. Pretty fucking disgusting. I mean, historians are, you know, finally, historians are being exposed that tell us what really happened. I just finished watching a series on the Great Courses, and I recommend that everybody watch this. You should. And you might have to do like I did. I have to watch a couple different episodes over again to get it, because there's a lot of information in that. An alternative view of American history. An alternative American history. Yeah, look it up. It's on Prime. You can get it. You can watch it. It's very, very good. So, a guy wrote a book, it's called American Dialogue, examines Washington, Adams, Madison, Jefferson, and a guy goes on with his little dialogue that he says here, and will the better nature of our angels save us? My view of history is that trusting in the better angels of our nature is a bad bet. Yeah, no shit. The founders didn't believe in the better angels. They created a constitution which was designed to deal with imperfect human beings. Yeah, they were pretty imperfect, weren't they? America's always had people who vehemently disagree. Now, this is something, are we that different now compared to that within Jefferson's time? Well, it is a size problem. There's a difference between 4 million people gathered on the Atlantic coast and 325 million people across the nation. The single most important difference is that we're attempting to do something that nobody has ever done before, create a fully and genuinely multiracial society in a huge nation. Yeah, it's a big problem. And we've always had these disagreements. Now, here's the thing that's going on politically in our country now. And the people on the right suck up to this more than anyone else. They think that everybody has opportunity. They don't. There's just too many studies that refute that. They think everybody has an equal share. We don't. We don't have a multiracial society operating. We have a multiracial society in terms of demographics. This is true. We've always, here's the thing about this bipartisan crap. We've always had vehement disagreements. Always. We have always not completely gotten along. We don't. We're humans. This is human nature. You know, it's just like the fuckers that think that love is everything. Love, 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 love. Just love, love, love. That's great. It's a great idea. It's a wonderful concept. However, hate is part of the human constitution. It's part of human nature. People want to erase it. Well, when you want to erase it, then love gets turned into all kinds of weird aberrations. Hate, we have to deal with. You have to deal with it. Why do I hate this or that or him or her or them? Why? That's what we have to look at, and that's what we have to be taught. We're not taught these kind of things in schools because, oh my God, it might offend somebody's religious sensibility. You mean religious ignorance? What is the biggest failing of the founders that still haunts us today? When the founders talked about we the people, they were not talking about black people. They were talking about women. They weren't talking about women. They weren't talking about Native Americans. Whenever race enters the question, the founders are going to end up disappointing you. That's right. They will, because they were slavers. And they were pretty much racist. Can the Constitution system they created, the constitutional system they created, solve our problems? The founders would want us to recognize that it's a living constitution. Wow, that hasn't happened very much in the last 100 and some odd years, has it? So the originalists who want us to go back to the original meaning have it dead wrong. We have to make adaptations. The Electoral College, for example, has to go. There's a lot of stuff. In the early 1960s, nearly 80% of Americans said they trusted their government. By the mid-1970s, that number dropped to about 20%, and it's never completely recovered. What happened? The Vietnam War, which undermined the credibility of the government for a whole generation of Americans. The second thing was the Civil Rights Movement. That alienated whites in the Confederacy. And the third thing was Roe versus Wade. That alienates all evangelicals. Now, let's look at each one of these. This guy is another unity jack-off, okay? Yeah, I'm all for unity. You have to get people, though, to agree on commonalities, and there's not very many in this. Okay, Vietnam War. Yeah, Vietnam War was wrong. We knew that. We would watch it on the news every night, you know, on the major networks. Yeah, we knew it was wrong. What were we doing in fucking Vietnam? What happened after we left Vietnam? We didn't win that war. We lost that war. It wasn't really a war we had to be in. And what was it? It was people who were propagandized and brainwashed by the Red Scare mentality and the domino effect, you know, in the Far East, which didn't happen. After Vietnam came to be what it was destined to be through Ho Chi Minh, was a communist state. Yes, it's a communist state, which is not, I don't know, I haven't done my homework. So how much of a dictatorship is it? Well, we don't know. We do know that Vietnam has flourished since we got the fuck out, and we didn't belong there to begin with, because there's been that kind of strife in Vietnam way before we ever got there, or the French ever got there. Way before that. Everybody's always been trying to take Vietnam. You know, other factions try to take Vietnam. Vietnam went the course that it was on, which we actually guided by our invasion of it and destruction. And so when people don't want to see the reality of Vietnam, You know, there were guys that, this is where a lot of these militia idiots and these right-wing extremists came from. These white right-wing terrorists, stochastic terrorists, and otherwise actual, you know, terrorists. This is how they this is how they evolved. A lot of them came from disgruntled soldiers who came home from Vietnam who were disillusioned with our government and our military. Thought it needed to go, and they thought we needed a strong man to run the show, which has just been disproven throughout history. That strong man's running the show is not a good thing. Look it up. Okay, yeah, I got to admit, this is all my opinion, but it's my opinion based on years and years of reading and my interpretation of the facts due to my own bias. And everyone has a bias. There's another thing. This crap about objectivity is just that crap. So what will finally unite Americans? Let's see what this guy has to say. A great crisis that leaves us no choice but to come together. Well, we have a great crisis right now. However, it's been downplayed by the media. And what is it? It's climate catastrophe. When the coastal areas have to be evacuated, there you go. When the real implications of climate change begin to hit, we're going to be forced to come together. Well, hopefully it isn't under a puss bag like Trump that says, let's just burn all the oil, let's make as much money as we can, and we'll build spaceships and we'll leave. That's why I'm against space exploration. Yeah, I'm against it. It's a waste of money, in my opinion. These guys like Bezos and Musk that want to go up into space. Yeah, why don't you just motherfuckers just stay there and continue on to a vacation into the heart of the sun? In their best moments, the founders put the public good ahead of the whims of public opinion. Is there any way to recover that sense of virtue? I would favor national mandatory service. Okay, that would be good. Now, of course, that has no chance. But every American woman and man should serve the public for 2 years. It doesn't mean military, but it means some form of service. And you can do that at a local level. You could do that at a city level. You could do it at a neighborhood level. We could make programs and plan for these things. And we could have boards of civilian oversights. Yeah, people don't give a fuck, man. They don't give a goddamn. You know, here's another one. Oh, the founding, okay. Founding fathers may be esteemed. We're getting the U.S. Well, okay, so this one was about they're all flawed people. Of course they were. They were humans. So, that's the end of my rant on this particular topic, which we'll revisit again. And the whole point is that this July 4th thing, it could be great if we were really cleaning up the Declaration of Independence. And if it was fully acknowledging everyone, like ensuing amendments to the Constitution did, like the 13th, the 14th amendments did. I think it was the 17th amendments in there too. This is like, hey, everybody that's born here is a citizen, and everybody that reaches the legal voting age can vote. That's it. It doesn't say you have to be a genius. It doesn't say you have to finish high school. It doesn't say you have to be able to read and write, although everybody ought to be able to read and write. And if they can't, they need to get help to do that. Because that's going to free us up, isn't it? Yeah. And everybody needs to have the opportunity to participate. And to participate without any interference from outside sources. And what does that also mean? It means that things like Citizens United need to go away. It means like the super PACs need to go away. It means that companies must be prevented from making political contributions. It needs to go away. All that dark money needs to go away. It needs to be actually confiscated and used for the public good. This is just my opinion, like I said. Okay. Next topic. This part is going to be about what I left the last segment with, which is that corporations need to get the fuck out of our government. Business does not need to run our country. Our country runs well because of the prosperity of businesses, which have been enabled, I'm sad to say, by their lobbying in the federal government. What's the largest lobby? U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Okay. What's the second largest? The insurance industry. What's the biggest ripoff? Okay, here comes my opinion. The insurance industry. if insurance was a publicly owned entity, it'd be a lot less expensive. There wouldn't be any fat cats. There wouldn't be any stock. There wouldn't be any of this nonsense, right?
Oh, but that doesn't fit in with your investment portfolio, old 10%er you, or maybe your 20%er. No, it doesn't. But maybe if you didn't have to worry about having an investment portfolio, you wouldn't need that kind of grift to occur, would you? Because let's face it, insurance is a fucking ripoff.
Okay, so here's another article. This one's talking. This is very poignant. Corporate pledges fall flat 6 months after the attack. Now, remember after the attack, all these corporations come out and said, we're not going to support these Republicans that voted to overturn the election. Remember that? Yeah. Well, now they're kind of reversing course and going back to their typical path of donations. They're going back to donating to the super PACs, of which we don't know who and how much. They're going back to donating, you know, making individual donations as companies and CEOs and people like that. Dozens of big companies citing their commitment to democracy. They're not committed to democracy. They don't have fucking democracy in their workplaces. The big guys don't. No, they don't. They got a board. Okay. Now, on the board, there's people that belong to boards of other corporations. So it's an oligarchy. Pledged to avoid donating money to the 147 lawmakers who objected to Congress's certification of Joe Biden's victory on the false grounds that voter fraud stole the election from then-president, oh, that poor, fat, pusbag Trump. It was a striking gesture. Yeah, it was. But guess what? Walmart, Pfizer, Intel, GE, and AT&T are among companies that announced their pledges on behalf of democracy in the days after Trump supporters stormed the Capitol violent bid to disrupt the election. The companies contend that donating directly to a candidate is not the same as giving to a PAC that supports them. They're donating to the fucking criminal, corrupt GOP. And why is the GOP corrupt and criminal? Because it's a business state party. That's what it should be called. It should be called the business state party. And its real agenda should come out in front of the public. Now, if people want to buy into that because that's, you know, that's their right to do so, okay. I've got to tell you, the majority, the vast majority of the people are not going to buy into that because they're against it. That's right. The company's argument also glosses over the fact that in large manner, large measure, they did their giving through PACs rather than to individuals. So nothing changed. No, it didn't change. I'm not going to go into all the examples. I mean, okay, so for example, okay, I'll do one. General Electric said it would halt donations to lawmakers who voted against the certification because we believe it's important to ensure that our future contributions continue to reflect our company's values and commitment to democracy. No, they don't. Your company doesn't do that. Your company is not a democracy. Your company is an oligarchy. I mean, stockholders have a vote, but do I have stock in GE? Do you have? Maybe you do. And does that vote mean anything? Okay, so I'm a shareholder in a supposed co-op called the Salt River Project. And I have a vote. It's a quarter of a vote. Yeah, other entities have a bigger vote than myself and other individual users. That's not democracy. That's watered down bullshit. Okay, so in April, GE gave $15,000 to each the House and Senate GOP election groups. Likewise, Pfizer did the same thing. So it goes on and on. Big money, business money needs to get the fuck out of politics and stay the fuck out, and they need to be outlawed. My other premise here is not a premise, but my other idea, my other thinking of the way it should go is that these guys who were in the Senate and the House and different governmental positions, no, they can't be lobbyists. They're barred. They can't be lobbyists. Oh, that, Yeah, I don't give a fuck about the freedom bullshit. Unless it's a nonprofit which contributes to the general welfare of the population, of the general population, the common welfare of the people, no, you can't be a lobbyist. I mean, this is the main problem. These guys all go on to be lobbyists. What kind of bullshit is that? Now, what contributes to all this nonsense? The media. So you go on the media and they're talking about this and that, like, you know, all the indictment came out against the Trump Organization and against, Weisselberg, the CFO. Okay, so going to take years before that maybe goes somewhere. Years. Maybe the former president will get indicted, okay. But he's so slippery and Teflon-coated that he gets out all this shit because he is protected by a bunch of shit that he ought to be executed for, in my opinion. So what does the media do? The media is always talking about our democracy. We need to protect our democracy. And I see African-American activists come on and talk about that. We don't have a fucking democracy, you guys, and you know it. And you need to come out and you need to say that. You need to say it over and over again. We don't have a fucking democracy. Yes, we have the shards of what could be a democracy. Yes, we do have, in a watered-down sense, a very watered-down sense, a representative democracy. You know, unless you're in a town, not a city, because cities are really big, where you can go and participate in the town meeting and have an equal vote with everybody in the meeting on the course that that's going to take. And, of course, that leaves out a lot of people that live in the town, because if everybody in the town who is legal to vote doesn't vote on this, it's not a democracy. Democracy is one person, one vote. And, of course, there's just the country's just too big, like the historian argued. Well, the country's too big. You've got 300, probably got, out of all the 330 million, it's probably like 250 million that could vote, maybe. Maybe 225. I don't know. I'd have to look it up. You know, wait a minute. I'm going to look it up. I'll be right back. Okay, so 70% of the voting eligible population registered to vote. This is 2020, and 61% voted. Almost 9 in 10 registered voters cast a ballot. That's weird. That's contradictory. There must be some caveat to that. Okay, so let's look at the percentage of the population. Okay. 239 million people were eligible to vote, and 61% of them submitted ballots. Okay. So that's 239 million out of 330 million people. Okay. So now, if there were national referendum issues or national, like these things that we vote on, like make marijuana legal and things like that. Now, if those things were national referendums and they were on our ballots and we got to vote for them, I think things would change quite a bit. Like, for instance, if Medicare for All was explained and there was a little quiz that you had to take to know what it was, right? See, people don't like that. It can't be a quiz because, you know, because then I can't lie to people. That's right. But there's kind of like a little informational quiz that you have to take. You don't get ruled out from voting if you don't pass it, but you'll at least see what the real numbers are. Medicare for All. People would vote it in. That's right. Many things. Legalize marijuana nationally. People would vote it in. We know by all the polls and all the surveys and things like that, that there's all these issues that would be voted in. And you know, we're in the electronic age. Now, Buckminster Fuller talked about this. He talked about an electronic democracy way back in the 60s. He was talking about this, and he was right. We have the capability. Now, if you get the infrastructure done and you got broadband everywhere and people can get on and vote electronically or just get a ballot in the mail and vote on all these referendums, then what do you need these fucking congressmen and all these fucking senators for? What do you need them for? You need administrators to enact the will of the people into being planners. Planners and people who enact these things. Yeah, that's what we need. We don't have it. And until we have that, we don't have democracy. Sorry. You know, until we make us all, the corporations will leave. Good, get the fuck out. if they get taxed too much. Guess what we can do? We can say, well, you don't get to sell your products in this country. You have now X'd yourself out of your largest market in the world. Well, China's going to be. And they could go and sell everything there. And this would give us a chance to refurbish and reconstruct and also reinvent ourselves industrially above what industrialization is going to be in the coming future. This would help us reinvent ourselves economically, and politically, and socially, so that we wouldn't have to depend on all these thievery and grift that's going on, because that's what's going on, and that's the deep state. The business state is the deep state. Sorry, fat boy. All you did, you drained the swamp and filled it with sewage. Human sewage. Grifters, thieves, liars, propagandists, neo-fascists. That's what you did. Okay, what is the deep state? Well, the deep state, okay, so I hear Chris Hedges talking about the deep state. Chris, God damn it, change your terminology. It's not a deep state. What it is the military, industrial, congressional complex. That's what it is. It's not a deep state. You see what happens when you coin a short term like that, Chris? Of course, you're not listening because I respect your experience and I respect your viewpoints very much, Chris Hedges. I do. You're really good. You're really fucking good. But this whole deep state thing, nah, it's not a deep state. It's what I said. It's the military, industrial, congressional complex. That's what it is. And yeah, it has deep roots within our bureaucracies and our government. And what is the deep roots? And you've pointed this out, Chris, and then I'm leaving you. It's capitalism. But capitalism is not for everyone. It's not constructed to work for everyone. It only works for some. And you can say, well, it's working for the majority of the country. How do you know that? You don't know it's working for the majority of the country. If the middle class is shrinking, if your efforts don't buy as much or more as they did in the 70s, if your opportunities have evaporated, if you can't go to school and pay the debt that it costs to go to college or higher learning, if you're not able to buy a home, yeah, so what's happened to your opportunities? Okay, now those of us who are older, who have accumulated a modicum of what you might call wealth or whatever, solvency, financial security, we can do those things. I doubt that I could have gone to college if I didn't have what I had when I went. Yeah. A lot of my friends had to work full time while they went to school to get their ass through school, and I respect them for that. And then we all had, I even had a college debt. I paid it off. It was like $3,400 and I paid it off. It took me about 4 years, but I paid it off, and that wasn't much. However, it was a strain on me to pay it off because I was trying to survive. So I don't want to hear about all this opportunity that everybody has. Oh, you can start your own business. I don't want to have my own fucking business. This is what most people actually think. They don't want to have their own business. And let me tell you, I've had my own businesses. And they're not, okay, so the 3-hour work week, okay, buddy. I'm still waiting. But I don't want to sell nutritional supplements. I don't want to offer that. I don't want an Amazon store. I don't want an eBay store. Because how many of those people make it? Not many. Not many. And so these gurus that are lying to you and trying to sell you your dreams, they're full of shit and they need to be exposed. And most of them have been. I ran into this guy on YouTube's videos, James Johnny, and he has some good stuff up there. You know, he exposed the multi-level marketing schemes for what they are. He exposed Abraham Hicks. Oh, my God. I can go on and on about those people. And he was real nice about it. I'm not nice about it. These people are frauds, and they're defrauding people, and people believe in their bullshit. Now, there are some things that they put out there that are common sense that you could believe in and you can apply, and they will work for you. They're not worthy of you paying these sons of bitches thousands of dollars. No. For instance, what's his name? Anthony. What's that guy's name? He kind of co-opted some NLP stuff. I forget his name. Fortunately, I forgot his name. That son of a bitch. He charges all this money for his seminars and then tells you that less than 3% are successful with it because they don't continue on in his programs and continue to fill his coffers. Well, that's a great out, isn't it? Oh, well, you didn't keep up with it. So that's kind of like the 12-step program. Well, if you faithfully work this program to the best of your ability, you have a 75% chance of staying clean or sober or clean and sober or whatever that fucking ridiculous language is until you die.
Okay. However, most of it is very inhumane and cultish, and people don't want to adhere to it. People don't want to have a pseudo-religion. Just like most people, they want to have a job. They want to make enough money to pay their bills, have some money left over to go have a good time. That's what most people want to do. And some people actually want to help other people. That's very cool. But I'm going to say to you that most people don't. Most people, they may have altruistic ideals and values and aspirations, but they don't want to help other people. They're too fucked up in the head. And because they don't give a fuck, right? And why don't we give a fuck? Well, because I have everything that keeps me happy on a daily basis according to what my exterior needs are. Because when my exterior needs are met, like I have enough money, I have transportation, I have a roof over my head, I have entertainment, I have all my basic needs are met, then how much do I give a fuck about anyone else? I'm telling you, most people don't. They talk like they do, some of them. But most of them don't. And some of the ones that talk like they do actually do shit. The ones that are cool are the ones that say, here's what we're doing. Here's what we've done. Here's what we're planning to do. Everybody else, self-included, when that happens, full of shit. Bullshit. So, you know, because Dawkins has always kind of contended that altruism is a part of our genome, that we have genes which promote us to have altruism. Okay. I'm not going against that. We've seen that. You can look at, humans and see that. That's for sure. I'm not an altruist. However, I do care about other people, and occasionally I will do something for them. I have this big thing against donating. I don't donate to anything. Well, once in a while I donate to something, some little thing. I donate a few bucks, like animals, you know, I'll donate to if I know the organization is pretty clean. But I have friends, they're going through shit. They need money donated. They get a GoFundMe going. They got medical problems. Man, I feel bad for you. Nobody should have to donate. You should be taken care of. And you know what? If you get really sick and you die, you're not going to have to pay off your debts anyway. No, you're going to be dead. And if you're married, you should get divorced. And because you could release your spouse from liability. So that's what I think. I mean, okay, so you can't afford your treatments. Well, if you search high and low, you can find that. And if you have a specific treatment that you need money for, you could ask for that. People donate. I'm not going to donate. Just telling you again, I'm not donating. I'm against it. Why should I give money that my tax dollars should be the donation? That's right. There's plenty of money in the tax dollars to fund these things. For instance, if you have a comprehensive, 100% comprehensive Medicare for All, you're not going to need donations for medical bills. If insurance companies are made into public entities, publicly owned entities, you're not going to need donations. If pharmaceuticals have price controls, strict price controls that are negotiated by Medicare or some other federal team that takes care of this shit, you're not going to need donations to pay for your drugs. These are the heavy hitters. It's the medical area. It's the heavy hitter. So, okay, so you lose everything. Somebody gets killed. They need a funeral, you know, whatever. Donations, they're not going to take care of it. They might get a person, you know, a boost to get off the ground. We have the machinery in our government to take care of it. Oh, but that's the government controlling things. Yeah.
the government can do the planning and they can affect the solutions, and they need to have civilian oversight. But why doesn't that work? Because people don't want to be responsible. They don't want to be a part of civilian oversight on all these things. I don't say that every company should be publicly owned. Of course not. No. You're going to have companies that are owned by individuals or owned by, you know, a partnership or owned by a small corporation. What, you're going to have those. That's cool. You should still have them. I'm not against that. What I'm against is large multinational corporations controlling our government through lobbying and super PAC funding. I'm against that big time. And I know that most of you are as well. Oh, but you're a big stockholder. Well, I'm not talking about you. You're part of 10%. Maybe 5%, maybe 1%. Maybe you're part of the 0.1%. You know what? I don't care about you because you don't care about me. No. So if I have a friend who's got huge medical problems and you're a billionaire, and I write you a letter saying, hey, so-and-so, she needs fucking $300,000 to take care of, will you send her the money? They won't send her the money. Very rarely do they. Very, very rarely. So look, if you're an advocate of the business state, fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. Oh, well, we don't care what happens to the masses. They're going to die off. Yeah, right. You know, fuck you in your arguments, man. Fuck you. I pulled myself up out of poverty. I should have had opportunities for the way I was trained and educated and everything. I did not. They weren't available. I had to struggle for years and years. So I don't want to hear from motherfuckers who kind of got lucky on that account, right? And, you know, maybe they did a lot of work and they kind of put themselves in a position to become, you know, more well off. I have friends like that. Great. Good for you. Are you doing anything to help anybody? Nah, you're not. Because you don't give a fuck. So, happy 4th of July. When you know what a ruse this whole thing is, this whole American dream, this whole Independence Day thing, it's for most of you, it's just an excuse to get together. That's all. It's just an excuse. It's an excuse to get drunk or get high and drunk and eat food and hang out and go rah-rah and do your Pledge of Allegiance and all that kind of horse shit. It's just a fucking excuse. It's an excuse. Do you care? Nah, most of you don't give a fuck. You don't give a fuck. You know, you don't give a fuck. And why should you, right? Because it's all about you. Everything's all about you, isn't it? Yeah, it's all about you. So happy 4th of July. Don't hurt yourself. Take care of yourself and the people you love. And maybe you can all help someone else.